2019, I gave a very brief summary of the position at that stage. Effectively, when public service pensions moved from a final salary pension scheme to a career average pension scheme, there were some transitional protections put in place for those members who were within 10 years of retirement to effectively give them an underpin to enable their benefits to be calculated on the best of the final salary or career average position when they came to retirement. Effectively, for the local government pension scheme, all members moved on to the new benefit structure, and everybody started accruing career average benefits from that stage. And those members who were within 10 years of retirement had the option to select either one of the best solutions. For the other public service schemes, and the fire scheme in particular, the old schemes were left open, but any new members joined the new career average scheme, and those members within 10 years of retirement stayed always on their old scheme, and those who were slightly older, or slightly younger, sorry, with more time to retirement, were tapered across into the new scheme at a transition date. Very, very complicated, resulting in about 9 different potential categories of membership for the fire pension scheme. For the LGPS, it was much more straightforward. So I'll focus on the LGPS issue at the moment. However, the challenge came from the fire service and the judicial pension schemes, but has been agreed to be applied, the remedy has been agreed to apply to all public service schemes. Effectively, this was an age discrimination case for those people who were not within 10 years of retirement, that they were being discriminated against in terms of their pension benefit. So it's now been agreed that the solution that's being consulted on at the moment is that all members who were active members of the local government pension scheme at March 2012 and were still active at the 1st of April 2014 when the new scheme came into force are entitled to the best outcome of the final salary or career average scheme pensions when they come to retirement. We, as an administering authority, now have to go back and identify those members of the pension fund who could be impacted. So those members who were active at the 31st of March 2014, who are either still active, have left the service of the council or the other employer, and are waiting to become retired or who have retired, and also those members who have died and their impact on their survivors. We believe for the Isle of Wight Pension Fund, this could be as many as 4,000 impacted members, where we have to go and look at the benefits that have been calculated, the data that we hold, whether we hold full service history, which wasn't required by the career average scheme, so we wouldn't necessarily have collected that from the 1st of April 2014. And we've got to go back and backdate the salary information on our administration system. We've got to recalculate the benefits that have been paid to those members who have already retired and potentially pay some arrears. We've got to look at those survivor benefits and potentially recalculate those and pay some arrears. We've got to recalculate all of the benefits payable for the deferred members, and we've got to ensure that our systems are capable of matching final salary and career average salary for our active members until they retire. So that could be for the next 40 or so years that we have to make sure that we've got the right information for our active members so that when they retire at 65 or 67, in the future, they have the right information to calculate their benefits. The cost of this is likely to be insignificant in terms of the total value of the fund. The key aspect is going to be a fundamental increase in the work of the administration team in identifying the right members, obtaining the information from the employer in respect of salary information going back to 2014, and then inputting that onto the system and ensuring that the calculations are correct. We are working with our administration system providers, Haywards, to work through what the solution is, but there are a lot of work that needs to be undertaken in this. Members were invited to attend webinars, or have been invited to attend webinars. I know Tracy Bull, as chair of the board, attended a seminar on preparedness for McLeod. There are about 12 different work streams, including communications, member engagement, employer engagement, data analysis, data collection, data correction, etc., etc. So we're looking to pull together a project plan to cover this work, to make sure that we do it right for all of our members, and that our members have the right benefits paid at the right time in the right amount. The consultation on the remedy opened on 16th of July and closes on the 8th of October. I am proposing to put in a response to that consultation from the Isle of Wight Fund, and will be sharing that response as and when it is drafted, so that members have the opportunity to comment where appropriate. I will also be sharing information as it arises from our actuarial advisers and from the other actuarial advisers within the pension scheme, so that members have the best information that's available to them, and I will keep you up to date with the work as it progresses. I'm very happy to do a training session at some point, if members would like it, on McLeod in more detail as the project progresses, but I'm happy to take any questions at the moment on McLeod or the proposals as that stands before I move on to any of the other items on this agenda item.
Thank you, Jo. I think the McLeod issue is the biggest item on this which we need to be concerned about. And as Jo said, it's not so much the extra bits and bobs of money which are going to be awarded to people, it's the huge amount of administration work which has got to be put in and records kept for years and years and years concerning. It's what they call the law of unintended consequences. When they brought this, when they first decided to, in effect, try and help people who are just about to retire, they said, "Oh well, we'll let them have a little bit of a soft landing." And then that was the unexpected consequence of that, was that everybody else said, "Hang on a minute, that's not fair. Why should you get a soft landing and we don't?" And so they changed this McLeod. And again, I think there's a lot of unexpected consequences here too. They didn't actually realise how much detail there is going to keep the records. Are there any questions or comments on that particular part of this report, please? Not the whole report, just that particular part.
Yeah, we have a question from Steve Milford.
Steve Milford, do you have a question, please? Can you unmute yourself? Steve, would you speak, please? I think you're still muted. Can you tell?
I think. Yeah, I think you're still muted, Steve. We can't hear you.
So I keep pressing unmute and it seems to mute itself again. Joe. Thanks for your explanation and for the paper, and appreciate it's a very complex area, so I think many of us would appreciate some training or a further detailed briefing if you are able to provide one. I was perhaps a little surprised at the numbers when you said 4,000 people could be affected. I guess it's a lot of people could be affected in a very small way rather than you know people significantly out of pocket because of the changes. But yes, I would appreciate some further training briefing on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Are there any other requests?
I believe Vanessa wanted to speak.
Vanessa?
The Churchman. Yes. Have we any idea, Joe, how long this will take to resolve? Because it's reading the report, it sounds like a colossal amount of work. And obviously, your staff is not exactly overloaded with people who've, I mean, do you have to fit this into your normal work schedule? Thank you.
The answer to that, Vanessa, quite simply is yes. I personally will not be heavily involved in it other than overseeing the project to make sure that it happens. The majority of work, as we said, will be within the administration team. Identifying, just to kind of tip back onto Steve's point as well to clarify the workloads, the 4,000 people that potentially are impacted are those members who were active at 2014 and who are either still active, deferred or retired at this point. So that's potentially the people that could be impacted. We haven't done a detailed analysis of whether they are impacted or not, but those are the ones that we can identify that are potential implications. Some of them won't have any impact at all. Some of them may have an impact, and some of them will have a big issue. The priority has got to be, I think, working effectively in reverse order. So the retired members have got to be the number one priority, because they are the ones whose benefits are in payment and will be entitled to a arrears if there are any due. Then we need to look at the deferred members to identify who they are, that we've got the right information from them and be able to communicate with them and tell them what we're doing, so that when they come to retirement, we've got the right payment. And then the actives is really just a case of making sure that we've got the right data information available. In terms of workloads and timing, it depends really, Vanessa, on what the regulations say, what they say, how long we've got to implement it. There is talk of April 22 as being the deadline for this to be resolved. Given the fact that the consultation doesn't finish until October, and then the regulations will have to be laid through Parliament, we're thinking probably there is a 12-month window for the calculations to be undertaken and corrected. But that doesn't prevent us at the moment starting to analyse the work and identify who we need to be seeking data for, from whom, and how we go about getting that. So if, for example, on those 4,000 cases, each case took an hour to resolve, and we had a year to do all of those cases, that would mean we'd need about 2.5 additional full-time equivalents to focus purely on that, to get that work done. If the time case, if it went to 90 minutes per case, that goes up to 4.5 FTEs. If we've got 6 months to do it, you're talking between 5 and 10 FTEs of additional resource required to sort this out. We don't know that that is the case at the moment. We haven't done the detailed resource planning on that activity at the moment. But we know categorically that we do not have the capacity of our existing resources to do this on top of everything else that we've got to do as part of our business as usual. So part of the project plan, and a very early stage of the project plan, is to identify resource requirements. We hope that the calculation and the data manipulation will be done automatically on the system, but we've still got to identify the members, we've got to identify the employers, we've got to seek information from the employers on the payroll information for those members for the last 6 years, etc., etc. So there's a lot of preparatory work that we can be doing at the moment before the actual calculations start. But that's part of the work plan. Matthew Collier from the administration team is meeting with our administration software providers this morning to begin a conversation about what solution they can put in forward to us. But that will cost money. This is going to be money and resource that we're going to have to pay for and fund out of the pension fund. There is scope within the response to the consultation to see whether central government can put some funding towards this, because this is work that we as the pension fund are having to do as a result of a correction of central government process and policy. So we are seeking to lobby for some additional funding. I'm not holding my breath on that at all, but we do need to bear in mind that we are trying to catch up with a correction of government thinking whilst also maintaining our normal business as usual standards.
Yeah.
So the answer is we haven't got enough resource. We don't know exactly how much resource we need. We're putting together a business case to try and sort it through. Does that answer your questions?
Yes, it does. Thank you. A further question is will it be paid as a lump sum to the people when the corrections are made? And secondly, what about HMRC? It just occurred to me, people who are currently paying tax, I presume, could then get a tax bill for the money that is paid to them by the council. Thank you.
I don't know the answer to those questions at the moment, Vanessa. We're at very, very early stages. I guess the intention would be if a member has been identified as being underpaid, then the amount would be paid in a lump sum and then their future benefits would be corrected. But as I say, we're very, very early in that stage at the moment. We don't know the implications, but we will be looking into tax implications for retired members, but also the implications potentially for annual allowances for higher paid employees, and also lifetime allowances, where it may mean that, people people's accrued pension pots exceed the allowable the amounts allowed for tax purposes and may incur additional tax bills. We will work through all of those as part of the project, and I will keep you informed as that goes through.
Yes, there will be a lot of detail. There will be a lot of detail involved in this, obviously, and we'll keep everyone up to date with it as we go along. But some of the things we just don't know at the moment because nobody knows. I would just make one point in that there will be extra administration costs involved in this, but these administration costs will be chargeable to the pension fund. They're not a direct charge on the county council's, on the Isle of Wight council's budget, revenue budget. So it's not going to make any difference to the Isle of Wight council in the short term. Okay, is that the...
That's it on the cloud, yeah.
That's it on the cloud. That's one small part of this report. Now, Jo, would you like to deal with the rest of it?
Okay. The next section that I've mentioned is the cost control mechanism. This is a centrally driven activity that arose out of the last formal valuation for all public sector pension funds at 2016. Where each scheme was looked at to determine its affordability for the pension schemes to be able to pay the future benefits and the income that's received into the schemes. Bear in mind, of course, there are two different types of schemes in public sector. There's the local government scheme, which is a funded scheme, so we have our assets. We have investment income that also contributes to the income coming into the fund, as well as member and employer contributions. Whereas the other public service schemes are what are called unfunded, effectively contributions collected from employer and employee are used to fund the benefits for those retired members, and any difference between the amount of contributions received and the benefits paid are either paid over to central government if the income is higher than the benefits paid out, or paid from central government to the pension scheme if the benefits paid are higher than the contributions received. And those schemes are funded as such by a notional pot within central government, a big black hole in central government funding for public service pension schemes other than the local government scheme. So the affordability of those public service, those unfunded public service schemes, is very critical to central government budget processes. So what they're trying to do is to make sure that there is a limit on the black hole, effectively, that's funding the deficits by ensuring that income received or benefits paid out are amended to make them to balance them as best they can. So in 2016, following the valuation, the schemes, public service schemes, were deemed to be unaffordable in that the black hole was getting bigger So they were looking at reviewing employer contributions for those unfunded schemes, which are centrally determined by government, or employee contributions, or changing the rate of accrual of pension benefits to try and balance up the income and expenditure. This had to be applied to the local government pension scheme as well, although that is slightly different in that employer contributions are determined on a triennial valuation basis, linking into investment income generated by the returns. But there was still a view that employer costs were too high, and so that there needed to be a rebalancing. This work had started to look at whether the benefit structure needed to be changed or the employee contributions need to be amended. And then the McLeod judgment was made that there was an impact on benefit accruals, etc., etc. So the cost control mechanism was frozen at that point and nothing happened. But now the McLeod remedy has been determined and we're working through that solution. It's the Scheme Advisory Board and the HM Treasury are reinstating their cost control mechanisms. So there may be a further change to scheme regulations to amend the benefits. There may be a requirement to change the employee contributions. For the employers, it's less likely that there will be a change in contribution rate through the LGPS. But that work has got to start again. So this is a central government driven process that will determine changes to the scheme operation. It's been reinstated. Effectively, I will keep you informed as it develops as this goes through. The impact of this is likely to be on scheme members in terms of contributions payable or benefit structures, but that will be consulted on as that's decided. And as I say, for the LGPS, it's less likely to have an impact on employers. Any questions at that stage?
No questions, that's it. I'm conscious of the time. I think maybe perhaps we can just ask for any questions on the remaining items of this report, but everybody's had a chance to read them through.
Okay.
So the balance, we've got as far as items 16 to 19. Are there any questions, please, from paragraph 20 onwards in this report that you'd like Joe to answer? Okay, and in that case, the recommendation is that we note the update and that for future information will be provided on all items as implementation actions are developed. So I'm going to say that we have noted it, unless I have any objections to anyone. Are there any objections or questions, please, from any members of the committee? In that case, that item is noted.